They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Frank, would you believe that this is the first time that we will ever actually broadcast on St. Patrick's Day? The St. Patrick's Day show on St. Patrick's Day. How about that?
I thought that we had broadcast on St. Patrick's Day at least a couple of times.
Maybe we had, back in the days when we
were doing this live. I thought once or twice we actually hit it right on the head, but maybe not.
I think we kind of did it close, but at least this time we know that we're going to be broadcasting exactly on St. Patrick's Day.
Very good.
So let's have some fun with it. By the way, for those of you listening in, I'm talking to Frank Short, and my regular listeners know that Frank does and has been doing the St. Patrick's Day show ever since On the Commons has been a show, and that's 18 years, Frank.
That's a long time doing St. Patrick's Day shows.
It's a long time doing St. Patrick's Day shows, and we've been howling like a wolf and doing all kinds of wonderful stuff. But what are we doing today? What have you got in store for us today?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about the latest treachery of CAI.
Okay.
For those of you who haven't been to this studio, when we started doing the St. Patrick's Day shows, and up until fairly recently, this studio was kind of like in the middle of nowhere. It was very easy to find, but apparently we have so irritated the Community Associated Institute and their trade association and their developers, they've bought up all the land around Shu's studio, and they've turned it into CAI-affiliated townhouses and shopping centers and walkable communities and all that cool stuff to make it very difficult to locate. And having been here a lot of times over 18 years, if I hadn't had my cell phone today and called Shu to navigate me in here, I'd still be on Gallows Road circling the beltway or something.
You know, what a perfect name for a road
that leads to a CAI community
and also that leads to a studio where we talk about homeowner associations, the gallows.
There you go. Well, last several years on St. Patrick's Day shows, we've talked about what's going on in the Virginia legislature. And the Virginia legislature has been pretty busy, but not very many bills have advanced. We'll talk about a few that have and a few that have not. But that doesn't mean there haven't been some very important developments. One important development is the emergence of somebody who I'm fairly hopeful will turn into one of the strongest advocates for homeowners to hit the Virginia legislature, which is Bill Mims.
Yeah.
And that is a lady who I've never met. Her name is Kelly Fowler. She's a Democrat. She's from Virginia Beach. And several of the bills that we'll talk about are Kelly Fowler bills. She hit that legislature like a breath of fresh air, and I'm hopeful that although most of her bills this time failed in the House, we'll talk about one that did not, I'm hopeful that as she gets a little seasoning and gets a little more familiar with the ways that the legislature does business, that we will see very good things from Ms. Fowler. But we'll start with a bill from a legislator who is geographically closer to us than Kelly Fowler. This House Bill 722, it was introduced by a gentleman named Ken Plum.
Ah, my friend Ken Plum.
With whom Shu and I used to meet a while back. And House Bill 722, which is one of the bills that failed, would have prohibited a board of directors from taking any action not approved in an open meeting. Now, we know that there are ways, legal ways, that the board can take action without a meeting. They're few and far between, and they've got to be documented so that the homeowners know what's going on. But this bill, when we used to talk with Ken Plum, he would say, sometimes I will introduce a bill upon request. And that means that a constituent has asked me to introduce that bill. And I won't necessarily support the bill, but I believe it's my obligation as a legislator to represent the request of my constituents. And unless it's a really completely bad idea, I'll introduce that bill. So I think that's what he did. And it didn't get out of the House of Delegates. Total number of bills that were HOA related, as I tracked them, there were 10 in the House, of which 8 failed in the House. There were 5 in the Senate, of which 4 failed. So at least none of the bills that passed seemed to do any appreciable damage to homeowners. I would have liked to have seen several of the bills that didn't make it go further. And even the ones that passed the House, you still have to see what comes out of the Senate. And as we know, there have been occasions in the past when a pretty good bill got out of the House. It got to the Senate, and they improved it, you see. And then it went to a conference, and we wound up having to go to Richmond and testify against what started out as a very good bill and had been changed into a very bad bill. But 722 went down to defeat. The first of the Kelly Fowler bills was House Bill 1038, which was a highly specialized bill having to do with stormwater management, issues particular to stormwater management. And in the time we've got, I'm not going to go into detail on that, especially because it didn't seem to go anywhere. But her next bill, House Bill 1040, was a very interesting bill. That one had to do with the Common Interest Community Board. And the Common Interest Community Board, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is something that Shu and I testified about years and years ago when it was being set up.
Right.
And what we didn't like about the Common Interest Community Board was it was dominated, completely dominated, by the industry. In fact, the reason we went to Richmond that year was because there was not a single person, not a single spot on the board reserved for somebody who was simply a homeowner, had no industry affiliation at all, and we had some limited success. They actually created 2 positions on the Common Interest Community Board where you had to be actually reside in a homeowners association, believe it or not. you know, the industry has its own ways of handling things like that, too. They'll get two people who happen to reside in the in a homeowners association, but they're also longtime CAI members and the members of trade associations and everything
some
else.
Some of these homeowners are more CAI than CAI ever thought of being.
Oh, yeah. But House Bill 1040 would have empowered and in fact, well, I'll read you the description published in Richmond Sunlight. And for those of you who haven't heard about Richmond Sunlight, if you live in Virginia and you want an easy way to track legislation, just Google Richmond Sunlight. You'll get to their website. You'll be able to track present proposed legislation, and you'll be able to go back years to past legislation. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to comment on any bill that the legislature is considering. There's a place where you can, you know, express your own opinion by a vote, yes or no. Do you think that this bill should pass? And in the past, we have we've taken advantage of the opportunity to comment on Richmond Sunlight about lots of bills, and we've asked some very interesting questions about why this language got in there, who put it in, what does it mean, what would the effect on homeowners be. But the Richmond Sunlight description of this bill says that this would require condominiums, cooperatives, and property owners associations to respond to each complaint from their association members and other citizens, address each issue raised in the complaint in full, and provide the response to the complainant within 30 days of receipt of the complaint. Now, we can't be having anything like that, Ms. Fowler. And so we're not going to have anything like that. But it also...
It failed, huh?
Yeah, it failed. But it also would have empowered and directed the Community Association Institute to be more actively involved. The Common Interest Community Board to be more actively involved in complaint matters. So that was that was House Bill
1040.
The next bill, 1041, was the second in a block of Kelly Fowler proposed legislation, and this one passed the House. This one would have 1041 provided lot owners the right to be informed of the count and the outcome of a vote on any matter requiring a vote by Property Owners Association membership. Not the board of directors. This is one they call a vote of the members, in proportion to the lot owner's membership interest. The bill removes the requirement that a recording of a meeting of the board of directors by lot owners be by audio or visual means. And when I first read the description, that concerned me. But I'm not concerned now. You can use any means you want to record it, and that's pretty clear when you get into the nitty-gritty of this.
Okay, because we had that.
Yeah.
Michelle McQuig had put that in, and then a couple of homeowners, even though I tried to talk them out of it, changed the wording back to just audio and visual,
yeah,
which limited it. So I'm glad that that's gone back.
Yep. So I'm not concerned about it. And the fact that it passed the House is comforting. It it did really well in the House. It was it got out of general laws 21-0.
Wow.
And it got 96-2 from the whole House. So it goes to the Senate in pretty good shape, I think.
It sounds like it.
But unfortunately, that was the only Kelly Fowler bill that had that kind of success. House Bill 1043 is about meetings of the Board of Directors, and that also would have been a good bill, I thought. The description of that in Richmond Sunlight is a little bit longer. It says this bill provides that an association member may share a recording of any portion of an association board meeting, Board of Directors meeting, that is required to be open and neither the Board of Directors nor a subcommittee or other committee thereof conducting the meeting shall obstruct a board meeting from board member from recording or sharing a recording of the meeting. The bill also provides that during any portion of a meeting required to be open, the vote of each board member shall be announced to the members and recorded in the meeting minutes. Finally, the bill requires that a summary of any comments made by association members and the issues discussed be included in the meeting minutes. Now, we used to do that. We used to do that in our association. And I was the secretary of the association for several terms. And the offer I made to people who made comments were, you give me 100 words, and those 100 words will go into the minutes, your words. I'm not, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Yeah. I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to, you know, to have your message communicated to the homeowners. Just do it in 100 words or less. And boy, did that frost the gonads of some of the board members who sat on the board with me. But none of them wanted to go on the record against it. They all, well, we can't be having this. Why? Yeah. You know, we'd have people, you know. Well, you know, when it becomes an issue, when we actually get 100 words that you don't want to publish substantively, we'll talk about it. But in the meantime, they're going into minutes. And then you can vote to disapprove the minutes. And so I think that this would promote board member accountability.
It needs to.
You know, and we used to put, you know, in our minutes, who voted how.
Yeah. It was a recorded vote.
And, no. All we have to say is that the board disapproved it. Really? Well, what was the vote? Who voted how? Oh, you don't need to know that. You're just a homeowner. You want to, you know, come to the meeting and actually, you know, sit there and watch. Well, you can do that, but otherwise you'll never know. And it won't be in the minutes. And if you record the minutes, we don't want you distributing them. And, boy, when we started recording minutes, you know, bringing tape recorders into those board meetings, that also had a very interesting effect on the board.
Oh, I did that. I used to record it when I was on the board, and I used the recording the following morning to write the minutes.
Yeah.
And when they argued with me, I said, let me play it back to you.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is, guys.
Yep. So I, of the Kelly Fowler bills that failed, that one, that's one of the ones that I really would have liked to see passed. Because
1043.
Then she had 1121, and that would have been another interesting bill that would have said, well, property owners associations are subject to the Non-Stock Corporations Act and would have increased the powers of the Common Interest Community Board. And that was another very interesting bill. The summary from Richmond Sunlight says, well, this is another one that says pass the House. Provides lot owners the right to be informed of the subject an outcome of any vote on any matter requiring a vote by a property owners association membership, not board of directors, board of the directors. Membership, to the owners, lot owners, ownership interest. This bill removes the requirement that recording, yes, the one that we talked about. Then 1143, and you can edit that if you need to. So don't talk about it twice. 1043.
We talked about
we just
that.
Talked about 1121 is the next one.
Just
and 1121 Non-Stock Corporation Act. The summary says codifies that a property owners association subject to the provisions of the Virginia Non-Stock Corporation Act must comply with the provisions of the Declaration, the Property Owners Association Act, and the Virginia Non-Stock Corporation Act. The bill requires the Common Interest Community Board to intervene in the internal activities of an association to the extent necessary to prevent or cure violations of titles Title 54.1 of the Virginia Code. That's the professions and occupations provision regarding common interest communities, the provisions pursuant to which the association is created, and the Virginia Non-Stock Corporations Act if the association is subject to that act. Again, I thought it would have been pretty good. And we'll get to Article 7 of the Non-Stock Corporation Act, because that comes up in another one of her bills.
Frank, where is she from?
She's from Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach?
Yep. Which is a CAI stronghold, as you know.
Yeah. I think Brenda Pogge's down there as well.
Yes.
So we could have two strong allies down there.
Oh, yeah. House Bill 1122, which failed, was about access to association records.
Ha! It failed?
Failed. You'll understand immediately why when I read you the description here. Creates additional record-keeping requirements for associations. I wonder who wrote that.
Yeah.
To include requirements to keep records of, one, the association's current membership, including each member's address, telephone numbers, and email address, if any. Two, a copy of the current declaration, the association's articles of incorporation and bylaws, and any rules and regulations or architectural guidelines adopted by the association. Three, a copy of all minutes of the board of directors and association meetings. And four, records of all correspondence between management or members of the association's board of directors and association members. The bill provides that such records shall be available to certain enumerated exceptions for examination and copying by a member of good standing or his authorized agent. Now, when you and I were on the board, there was correspondence being sent by the executive director of the association to homeowners that wasn't even in the board packet that was sent to us. We had no idea.
Alicia Katz.
We had no idea what the general manager was telling homeowners to do, threatening homeowners with in our name.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of fixed that the last time I was on the board. I said any such correspondence will be in the board packet. And the minute I find out that it's not on the board packet, I'm going to talk about it in open session. And you're not going to like it, Mr. General Manager.
Well, they were charging things that we
absolutely were. They were. Yeah. They had these transfer fees that they were charging, and they'd send them to a home buyer, saying that you must pay $25, and then they upped it to $50 to Coger Management Company. By the way, I hope our old friend Jeff Coger is listening today from his prison cell.
Yeah. He's still there. He must still be there.
Well, a sentence of 66 years takes a while.
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah. But if he's turned it into a homeowners association, then they may give him, you know, bad behavior, you know, penalty time. Anyway, Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff is just such common sense that you can't imagine an association would not, as a matter of course, do this, and that a board of directors would not, as a matter of course, insist on it.
They don't. I mean, you know some of the board members.
Well, I mean, this is something, you know, again, Virginia Beach, as we say, is a CAI stronghold, and they may have the board members down there so indoctrinated and so scared that they don't realize what they're supposed to do. But, you know, how do you exercise your fiduciary duty as a board member if you don't know what's being done in your name?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fundamental thing right there.
And then we have the Kelly Fowler bill, 1123.
Wow.
Which she
has been busy, hasn't she?
Yeah, she certainly has. She introduced this, co-sponsored it with Delegate Simon from Falls Church, who's again up here close to us. And this is, you know, another one that would have been very good. This one, the description reads, this would specify that minutes of meetings of the association board of directors must be in writing.
Oh, wow.
You believe it would take a...
Is that telepathy?
Yeah, they must be in writing, and they must include all these real hard things, like the date, time, and location of the meeting. The members of the board of directors, present and absent. A summary of the discussion on all matters proposed, deliberated, or decided. That's the one that probably killed it. A list of any speakers appearing before the board and a summary of their presentation. A record of any votes taken, including the details as to the specific vote of each board member. The bill provides that minutes may be recorded in a more general format as long as they are supplemented by an audio or video recording of the entirety of the meeting using means of recording that fully captures and can clearly reproduce all of the statements made during the meeting.
Ooh.
What a concept.
Amazing.
I thought this would have been very good as well. Again,
it didn't bother.
Board member accountability. There's.
We don't need that, do we, Frank?
No. No, we don't need that.
We don't need board member accountability.
When I was an officer of the board of our association, I was the board secretary. The president of the board delegated to a committee the rewriting of the association management contract. And I decided I was going to attend the meeting of the committee. And they tried to tell me, you can't be here. You're not a member of the committee. I said, I'm a member of the board. I'm an officer of the board. I have oversight responsibilities, and I have fiduciary duties, and I'm going to sit in. I'm not going to say a word after I stop speaking right now. I won't say a word, but I want to see what is going on here. One of the interesting things, just one of the interesting things that was going on, was they tried to remove from the existing contract, which they had been authorized to redraft, a provision that would have prevented the community association from hiring a convicted felon.
What?
Yes. So after the first meeting, I never got notice. I never heard about another meeting, and they they wound up meeting in somebody's house and didn't tell anybody. They were secret meetings. There was no notice to anybody. We had given notice, and I had given notice, that I wanted to be notified of all meetings of all committees, time, date, and location. Nobody got any notice. And so when they redrafted the management contract, you and I and some other homeowners did a whole lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Copying the existing contract, copying the contract that they proposed to the board with a comment column noting the differences and the effect of the differences between the current contract and the proposed contract. And the contract that they proposed didn't make it through the board of directors. We distributed those documents to the board and to every homeowner who showed up at a very important meeting on that subject. And we said, here's why we don't think that this proposed management contract should go forward. Remember who the management company was, Shu?
Who was it, Kroger?
Kroger Management.
Yeah. Because there was another Cardinal we had some problems with as well.
Those were the good old days. Then we have House Bill 1533, introduced by Delegate Cave Corley from Falls Church. He's a Democrat. And his bill was about the applicability of the Property Owners Association Act. And this one, I wish I knew the basis for this. I wish I knew what he was trying to accomplish, because sometimes when you have bills like this, and I think we saw one years ago that came in, and who was it from out west who had sponsored one of these? The name will come to me. It was focused on one single community association. And the explanation was, well, you know, this association out here is caught between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, all we're trying to do is clarify. Wait a minute. Why don't we let the members clarify? Why don't we let them have a vote? Part of this was, are you in the association or not? Jill Vogel.
Oh, Jill Vogel. Okay.
Yeah. It was her bill. So the summary of this is, this provides that the Virginia Property Owners Association Act shall be applicable to any development established prior to the former Subdivided Land Sales Act, located in a county with an urban county executive form of government containing 500 or more lots, each lot of which is located within the boundaries of a watershed improvement district established pursuant to Article 3 of the title such and such of Virginia Code, and each lot of which is subject to substantially similar deed restrictions. So this sounds to me like I'm going to single out this one association over here to put them under the POA, whether they want to be under the POA or not. And I hope the homeowners, wherever they are, understand what's going on. Maybe they want to call Delegate Corey about that.
Did this pass?
This, let's see.
There's this one of the
this day. Passed this. I'm sorry. It's identified as House Bill 1533, but it says status is that it passed the Senate. Well, Richmond Sunlight, you let me down on that. I guess it was a Senate bill.
Okay.
Even though it's identified as a House bill. It took a while to get through the Senate, but it finally did. The chair apparently had to vote to break a tie.
Hmm.
And that was back on March 5th, so that's pretty new. Maybe that's why.
So I don't know when crossover day is, but
I think we're past crossover day based on the based on the Chap Peterson emails. He wrote something about we're now past crossover day. Then 1585, House Bill 1585 was the last of the Kelly Fowler.
Is that a Senate bill?
No, she's in the House. I didn't know who the other guy was, but Kelly Fowler is in the House.
Oh, Kelly Fowler, okay.
House Bill 1585, this bill failed. This would have applied the Property Owners Association Act, certain provisions of the Virginia Non-Stock Corporation Act for associations incorporated under this act. The bill provides that such provisions are to be enforced by the Common Interest Community Board. So she had two attempts, to get this enforcement by the Common Interest Community Board. And what she was talking about was Article 7 of the Non-Stock Corporation Act. And that's what she wanted these folks to abide by. And Article 7 are the provisions of the Non-Stock Corporation Act that govern members and meetings. She wanted to see that language in the Property Owners Association Act. And this time she didn't make it. But hopefully the next time she'll be back and maybe have some better success with that. So we move over to the Senate side. We start with Senate Bill 705, Contents of Disclosure Packets. This bill was introduced by somebody with whom you and I are pretty familiar. His name is Senator Scott Surevel. He was one of the attorneys in the firm that took up Maria Ferrand's case.
Yes.
Several years ago. They sued their association, and they prevailed, and they recovered attorney fees. The association had exceeded its authorities in passing a rule about fining homeowners, and Mr. Surevel's law firm defended that by saying law in Virginia is pretty clear. This takes a change to the declaration, and the owners have to vote for the change in the declaration. The board of directors can't vote to give itself powers that the declaration doesn't give it.
Yeah.
And any language in the Property Owners Association Act that might be construed to suggest otherwise is incorrect. And Maria Ferran won her case, and she wasn't the only one who won one of them cases, Shu.
No, she wasn't. I'll tell you what, in that case, Frank, the homeowners did amend the governing documents, and what they did was they stripped all of the powers of the association. And I got a Christmas card from Maria Ferran, saying it was so nice and so pleasant living in their association. Nobody was afraid of being fined. Nobody was afraid of being harassed. Nobody was afraid of being abused. And the community had come together as a community should. They were having Christmas parties. They were out there shoveling snow together. It was a true community once they did away with all of the provisions. It was all gone. And the thing is, Frank, property values went up. Not down, as CAI would have you believe.
I don't know how that could have happened.
Well, they're a lot happier.
Well, the law firm that defended the association was a CAI-affiliated law firm.
Yep.
And the result of the attempt to defend the association, and, of course, cover their legal fees, was to put the association into bankruptcy.
Yep.
So, Back to Scott Surabell's bill. Would have provided that no property owners association shall prohibit an owner from operating a home-based business within his personal residence if the operation of the home-based business is in compliance with all applicable state laws and local ordinance, unless the home-based business is expressly prohibited by the declaration. Under current law, operation of a home-based business is allowed only to the extent that the declaration is silent on the operation of home-based businesses. I guess Mr. Surville has this idea about individual liberty, that if I buy in an association and it doesn't tell me I can't do something, and what I want to do is permitted by the state and local zoning laws, I ought to be able to do it. But I guess the Senate General Laws Committee thought otherwise, because that bill, unfortunately, did not advance.
It failed.
Yep.
I wish that when they do something like that, that they actually define what a business is, because in some cases I've heard from people who've had dog walking businesses, and maybe they've advertised from their computer at home, and once the association has seen their ads, they've called it a business and they've gone after them. You can't do it. You've got to go outside. You know, I mean, the thing is, they get so petty and so stupid and so absolutely ridiculous. I think if you're going to end up with a whole lot of extra traffic, that might be something to consider. But so many businesses nowadays are just on the computer.
Yeah, and so many businesses these days provide services like fully approved, fully licensed child care that are in demand.
That's exempt by the county, so you cannot, they cannot prohibit you from operating a daycare. They will control it. But that, as far as I know, is, you know, it's not something that they can do.
Well, Senator Surville came back with another bill.
Oh, good.
And this time he had considerably better success. This one is Bill 722. And this one governed access to association books and records. And this one passed the Senate 97-0.
Ooh.
And the summary of this says that this would allow access to association books and records, provides that books and records kept by or on behalf of a unit owners association or a property owners association shall be withheld from inspection and copying in their entirety only to the extent that an exclusion from disclosure enumerated in the Condominium Act or the Property Owners Association Act, as applicable, applies to the entire content of such books and records. The bill provides that otherwise only those portions of books and records containing information subject to an exclusion may be withheld, and all portions of the books and records that are not excluded shall be disclosed to the requesting members at the requesting members' expense. So, we was discussing litigation at that meeting. The discussion took about 45 seconds of a 2-hour meeting, but you know, you can't have any part of the minutes, because it's all privileged.
It's all privileged.
Yeah, because we was thinking, you see, about litigation while we was talking about the trash removal contract. Just
make it a draft, and you can withhold it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you remember marketed draft, you know, they had, they tried to withhold from homeowners the board packets that went to members of the board of directors where they had proposed rule changes and they had proposed bylaws changes and all kinds of, you know, baloney. Oh, no, you can't have this. This is just a draft. And we got in touch with some legislators and said, this is pretty stupid. You know, homeowners are allowed to attend meetings. They're allowed to speak at meetings. In order to speak intelligently about a proposed rule, it would be really, really helpful if you had access to the draft rule before the meeting. Why, if this was the case in the Virginia legislature, we wouldn't be able to read your proposed bill because it's still a draft. And I guess the legislature thought that was a pretty good explanation because they put it into the POA, and I guess some associations simply aren't following it. And what this tells me, since Senator Surville lives here in Fairfax County, is that there are some associations in Fairfax County who haven't gotten the message.
In our association, ours is a really old one, which is what I like about it. And it specifically says that homeowners have access to all the books and records. There are nothing is withheld.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they've added, oh, well, if it's litigation, if it's contract, if it's all this, now they've got these things legally. But in terms of our declaration, there was nothing withheld in the declaration.
No.
So which prevails? I mean, I don't have a problem with withholding some of that stuff.
So, we had Senate Bill 722 introduced by Senator Solo.
They've been asked.
Yeah, 722 was Surville. That was Books and Records 707 today. 707 was home-based businesses. So it should be 722 was the Books and Records one that passed the House 97-0. Then we go to Senate Bill 861. And Senate Bill 861 was introduced by Senator Bryce Reeves of Spotsylvania. And this one would have required member approval for certain capital expenditures. This one would have required a Property Owners Association's Board of Directors, before making expenditures on capital components that exceed $1 million, to obtain the approval of a majority of lot owners who are members in good standing of the Property Owners Association. The requirements do not affect capital components approved by the Board of Directors and fully funded prior to July 1st, 2018. Boy, there's going to be a lot of stuff approved before July 1st, 2018. But unfortunately, this bill failed.
It failed, huh?
Okay. And last but not least, we have Senate Bill 927. And this was introduced by our friend Dave Marston from Burke. And this goes back again to the Subdivided Land Act. It's a companion bill to the one that came up in the House. The wording is the same. And again, I'm wondering what Property Owners Association Act Dave Marsden is, what Property Owners Association Dave Marsden is trying to subject to the POA legislatively. And so some of you who live around here who may be constituents of Mr. Marsden, you might want to call him up and ask him, because maybe it's your association.
You never know. And that failed?
That one, that one failed.
Failed. Let me go.
So how much time we got?
So I'm looking right at. We've got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So that was quite a roundup of all the legislative activity that took place down in Richmond. It's nice to know that there's someone down there, Kelly Fowler, who may be, a good friend to homeowners. It sounds like she's certainly on that path.
Yes, and I would encourage you to maybe reach out to Kelly Fowler and have her on the show with you one of these days, because I think she definitely has the right idea. Maybe we could in some way, help her. We certainly have enough stories to tell her about, our experiences in Richmond. Maybe if she's got one of these bills, we could come down and testify in support of it. Some of these folks know who we are. Certainly Chad Peterson and Scott Servell know who we are. Dave Marsden knows who we are. Jim...
Ken Plum.
Yeah, Ken Plum knows who we are. And I'd look forward to doing that maybe in the session next year.
One of the things I'd like to do away with, and we've only got a couple of minutes to talk about this, is doing away with the CICB, the board. Because although we managed to get something changed, I still think the board is just all industry, and you're never going to get a fair shake out of that.
As long as the board is dominated by industry, I agree with you 100%. But one of the things that we have asked for, is government oversight with a big G over these associations. And with a common interest community board that has a charter to represent homeowners as consumers and has a membership dedicated to consumer protection of homeowners who live in these things, I think the Common Interest Community Board could be one of the means by which government oversight and homeowner protection is really effectively advanced in Virginia.
Because every time I hear from anyone in Virginia, they'll tell me, I contacted them and they were absolutely useless. That and the ombudsman, who's very much in their pocket. And, I don't know how much, I suppose they're tax funded, but these people are making money off our taxes.
We had a paid lobbyist for CAI. No question about it. She was a paid lobbyist.
Yeah.
That's a fact. She was sitting on that board.
Oh, and she still is, I think. She still handles all of that. Plus, her firm, it is her firm. She's co-owner of the firm. Her firm actually represents associations.
Yeah.
And all of her buddies on the board are industry, so they're not going to go after their best friends for doing something wrong. I mean, this is the whole thing is just a rigmarole. There's nothing unbiased about it. There's nothing.
You don't understand, Sue. You see, we're all pals here, and we don't want nobody's ox to get gored,
Well, they're good. We would never do a thing like that. Frank, thank you so much for coming in after you got lost and came in and gave us a terrific roundup.
I'm going to be leaving breadcrumbs as I drive out of here, so I'll be finding my way back one of these days.
I want to wish everybody a very happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm just thrilled that this is going to be broadcast on St. Patrick's Day. It's on a Saturday, same day as my time slot. And so that's going to be amazing, Frank.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Sue, and all of our listeners.
Thanks. Same to you all. And see you next St. Patrick's Day, but hopefully before then, right?
Right.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us.
Well, I thought it would be less disorganized.
On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.